Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. We are here to discuss securing your enterprise with Microsoft Defender for Identity. Our 2W Tech presenters today are Tom Guerin, he's our CTO, and Brad Cheney, who is our Modern Work Practice Manager. I'm Super Z. I'm the Marketing Director here at 2W Tech, and we'll be the moderator today. For those of you not familiar with 2W Technologies, we are a technology solutions provider and a managed service provider. We are Epicor's largest global partner, as well as one of Microsoft's largest and most innovative partners. As you can see there, based on our logo, we have earned 4 solution designations to date and 1 specialization. For more information on our solutions, you can go to 2wtech.com to see our extensive line card. I'm going to now turn over to Tom, and he's going to get us started.
All right, great. Good afternoon. Thank you, Sue. As Sue said, at 2W, we really take pride in our partnership with Epicor as one of the largest Epicor partners in North America and our Microsoft partnership. So we're going to talk today about how those two things fit together, the security designations, as well as ERP and manufacturing. And we're excited to dive into Microsoft Defender for Identity and explore how it can really safeguard your enterprise and ours in today's evolving threat landscape. So, Brad, why don't you give us a quick overview of 2W and our expertise in Microsoft security?
Thanks, Tom. When we talk about security, it's really important to realize that protecting our information and our own personal identities is extremely important in our day-in, day-out life through our manufacturing and all of our business experience that we have here within our tenants within Microsoft, right? A lot of you that are in this webinar talk about security, about compliancy, you know, what's out in the cloud, and also what's in hybrid, right? And there's a lot of people that have Active Directory still on-prem, and we're going to be hitting on that a lot today as well. So part of the things that, you know, what you can expect to learn today are how Defender for Identity can really excel and look for, you know, bad intended people that are trying to do very nefarious things within your landscape, and how we identify that, and how, once again, we can kind of protect your environment as we kind of move forward with security in those environments. Tom?
Yeah, so Brad, thanks. You've got the statistic here, you know, 80 to 90% of cyber attacks involve compromised credentials, right? So that's, I've seen that number, you know, gets repeated, you know, every year it stays roughly the same, but that's, you know, you mentioned that most of the people here have got, you know, legacy, I want to call it legacy Active Directory, on-prem Active Directory. And that infrastructure tends to be a top target. It's a prime target due to its vulnerabilities. And, you know, there's risks, you know, kind of top to bottom, especially, you know, depending on how well updated and maintained that is, right? So why is it that identity security is such a critical risk? What, you know, what makes that such a valuable hole in your network or in your security perimeter for attackers?
So I think one of the things that we talk about, right? So if we're in cloud, and a lot of you have seen this as well, you've got conditional access policies, you've got multi-factor authentication that's out there, and you've got a lot of behavioral anomaly detection that's out there as well with Defender. You don't necessarily see that on-prem, right? We've had Active Directory, you know, I can say since the beginning of time, but it's been out there for quite a bit of time, right? And I know for a fact, what do you see when you see Active Directory, right? You see a lot of misconfigurations. You see unused accounts that, you know, you haven't went out there and cleaned up in probably 2 or 3 years. You see privilege sprawl, right? So stuff that's out there, maybe you forgot that you gave this particular user domain admin or whatever that's out there. And so that makes it easy for attackers to actually exploit that once they get a foothold in your environment, right? So you have a hybrid environment. You have this stuff on your old legacy. You know, I'll be with Tom. I don't like to use the word legacy, but you have this old Active Directory that's out there, and users will be out there to exploit that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as we're looking at our, our manufacturing clients in particular, some of them are really tethered to and tied to those on-prem Active Directory, because they might have machine tools, or they might have, you know, CAD applications, things like that, where, traditional AD, let's call it, instead of legacy, let's call it traditional, where Active Directory is a required, thing for, we need to be able to push these applications out to a machine, for instance. They don't have the ability to move everything to a pure intra ID, cloud-based environment.
And I think one of the things that you look about that is, the business risk of identity-based attacks, right? So it can be massive, right? So if someone compromises a privileged account, so say that my account is compromised here at 2W, if we had an on-prem AD, they can literally move laterally and exfiltrate sensitive data. So it can go in there and you can find stuff that could really cause some damage, launch ransomware, really, infiltrate our network. And if we look at Defender for Identity, right, it helps surfaces those identity-based threats before they escalate into full-blown breaches, right? So, without tools like Defender for Identity, most organizations don't even realize the activity is happening, right? So we don't have the tendrils to kind of go in there and see what's going on. Identity is kind of the new perimeter, and it needs to be protected accordingly.
Yeah, so for those who might not be familiar, you're going to get to it here. Can you explain what Microsoft Defender for Identity is and how it integrates with existing identity providers on-prem, like Active Directory?
Absolutely. So, and we're going to get into it in some, a few follow-up slides as well. So Defender for Identity is, it's a cloud-based identity threat detection tool. So it's designed to protect your on-prem Active Directory, right? But it's going to be lightweight. So it's going to continuously monitor stuff that's coming in and out of your Active Directory. But really, it just installs a lightweight sensor on your domain controller, right? So it doesn't actually need to install it on your servers. And it collects that data that's coming in and out of your network, right? So you're talking about things like LDAP, Kerberos tickets and requests, right? NTLM logs and logins, and sends it to the cloud for analysis. So basically, it takes the stuff that you have on your Active Directory locally and gets that behavior and sends that directly to the cloud for analysis. So that's what makes it really kind of great. So Defender for Identity looks for signs of credential compromises and those lateral movements, as Tom kind of said earlier, and for unusual logins, privilege escalation, directory reconnaissance, brute force attempts. If you guys know what those are, someone tried to hit your account 200 times in a minute tries to find those, or just subtle signals that traditional tools often miss. So, outside of that Microsoft stack, as Tom was saying, this kind of integrates into that Defender stack, and really is just another piece of the puzzle to really, really integrate into your security stack.
Yeah. So you mentioned, behavioral, right? So, in the cloud world where, where we have all these modern tools, right? We have lots of behavioral analysis tools and AI analysis of logins, and unusual travel is something we've all seen, right? How did this guy log in Ireland and in Brazil and in New York all within an hour, right? So those type of behavioral, as well as something that we see with behavioral analysis on the SharePoint side quite a bit is maybe Sue is our marketing director. It would be unusual if she started browsing through the finance teams in SharePoint, for instance. Mm-hmm. So those would get flagged by some of our behavioral analysis or something like Purview, right?
Right.
So how does the behavioral analysis, and maybe you already kind of covered it a little bit, but how does that show up in Active Directory?
Well, I think one of the things that you see, looking at it a little bit from an old school point of view, right? So before that, you used to have to just look at logs, right? And log analysis is just, let's just call it terrible. It's not exactly the most effective way of doing it. But we do have, with Defender for Identity, you actually have the ability for something that's more of an intelligent way of going out there and actually deducing and deducting what we have and finding out kind of what's going on. And you hit it right. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because we actually had something going on this week where someone was in Illinois constantly, and then all of a sudden they were in Melbourne, Florida, which we knew exactly wasn't the case. But when you look at that and you're trying to figure out exactly where that's coming from and why that's coming from, far as where that data is living at within Active Directory, it's more of a lateral attack, or I wouldn't call it necessarily a breach, but figuring out where that data lives at.
So I'm looking at kind of some examples of this, and I know you, I'm sure you've got a demo set up for us here in a little bit.
Yeah, I do.
But, you know, if we're looking at logins, in a manufacturing client, for instance, it would be unusual for maybe somebody from the finance department to be logging in from the shop floor. For instance, right? Is that the type of behavioral, or at least that's an example of the behavioral stuff that we're looking at. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then, so we're going to get into really how this integrates with Active Directory. Why don't you walk us through the architecture here?
Absolutely. And this is what we were talking about just a minute ago when we talked about how the architectural overview works for Defender for Identity. It's actually a fairly simple diagram, but we wanted to kind of go over this in depth with everyone that's on the call today. So once again, the nice thing is it doesn't necessarily have to be installed on a device. So you don't have to worry about it being installed on a server. It doesn't have to be installed on a laptop. It actually just it installs itself on a domain controller, right? So you go out there. The Defender for Identity sensor captures those events without impacting performance. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we want to make sure on is we're not actually putting on a server that could, you know, spin up to 100% or anything like that. We're just capturing data, right? So then we go out there, the cloud analytics engine enriches that data, right, from the Microsoft Threat Intelligence and Behavior Model. So that's the one that's going out there. Tom just mentioned it as well, that's looking out there and saying, hey, you were in New York this week, and an hour later you're in California, something's not right. So that's looking at that behavioral instance. Once again, that results into that alerts and incidents that surfaces up to the Defender portal. And we're going to show that here in just a little bit of saying, okay, this person is not doing something right, or it's looking at it. We're going to make sure that we're going to get an alert, or an incident is going to be logged. And then that's going to go up to the Microsoft 365 portal. That's either going to be looked at by, an IT professional, or an alert is going to be triggered. That's going to be sent out to like a group or whoever is in charge of security within your organization to say, hey, something is going on. Maybe there's an alert for an endpoint, an email, something that's out there that is irregular, and that somebody needs to take a look at that. So that's how that pipeline is kind of set up and how things are kind of detected throughout that particular architectural overview.
Yeah, so you don't have, I just want to make sure I'm kind of painting the picture for myself here. So we don't have agents installed on end user devices for this. This is
correct.
Purely a sensor living on the domain controller that's sending it up to your cloud environment, right?
Absolutely.
I think it's really important you brought in then that data can be and is being correlated then with the things that are going on with your cloud accounts as well, right? So, but if I've got just on-prem accounts, for instance, a machine tool operator, right, might not have an M365 account, or at least they may not be using it for anything, right? Maybe it's just an account that's there, but they're not licensed for email or anything.
Correct.
How does this play in with that?
I think, one of the things is, the correlation we're going to see in the demo that we're going to come up in just a little bit is that since it's a part of the Defender suite, all the alerts, whether it's coming from an on-prem section of Active Directory, it's not necessarily in a silo. Basically, all the correlation comes up to Defender. So whether it's an email activity, whatever it is, you know, whatever the identification is from Defender, it's all coming together within the Defender portal itself. So if someone is out on the shop floor and on a, let's just say, and we'll talk a little bit about licensing later, but say they're on an F3 or something on a shop floor, if something happens to that machine and say they open up an email on that particular computer that's on the floor, maybe it's a bad email. That's still being logged out there on that particular computer that's inside of the manufacturing floor. It's still being sent out.
Gotcha. So then if that account started misbehaving, even locally, going to a file share that it doesn't normally access, for instance, mm-hmm. that we'd be able to shut that down or alert on that, those types of behaviors.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I mean, let's kind of talk about some real world cases. You know, can you walk us through really how I think many of the people on the call here today are, you know, network administrators, security administrators, managers of some kind. You know, how does Defender for Identity help detect and respond to these? What are they going to see if, you know, once it's enabled and configured?
So I wanted to kind of first kick off a couple different things here when we were talking about this, because it's going to allow some context for later in the demo as well. There's two different things that are not necessarily on this slide, Tom, that I wanted to talk about, and that is types of intrusion and detection as well. And one of the things is called pass the hash. I think, Tom, you know about this. I know about this, but there's a lot of people on the webinar that probably don't know about this. And basically, that occurs when an attacker extracts a hashed password from a compromised machine. So bad actor, they find a compromised machine and they use it to authenticate with other systems. So this is one of the things within Defender for Identity that we're looking for, right? So they basically are able to compromise a machine. They use it to authenticate to other systems without ever needing to crack or know your actual password. So when you're in Defender for Identity, one of the things that it's looking out there is a pass the hash type of activity. So that's one of the things they're looking for. There's also a neat new one called pass the ticket. So that involves stealing a Kerberos ticket. So basically that's a temporary credential used in authentication and reusing it on different systems to impersonate a user. So think about it this way. So this is a harder to catch because it's, you know, it's out there and it's hard to win, but then they can impersonate you using like a domain administrator or something like that. Not cool. But it's out there and it could be used. Defender for Identity goes and looks for those, you know, those types of attacks. And that's just sitting out there on your domain controller. So these are the things that we kind of look at. And, you know, as we talk about real world cases and threat scenarios, those are the things that were really, really important to us. There's also some stuff about Kerberosting, right? And that's your cool word of the day is Kerberosting. Mm-hmm. Defender for Identity detects when service tickets are being requested in suspicious patterns. So that's about those behavioral analytics. So attackers are often requesting tickets for service accounts, right? So yeah, you got service accounts out there that run something for maybe Epic or Exchange, or maybe something's out there for Power Apps or Power BI or something like that. They extract them and attempt to crack them with a password offline. Defender for Identity flags this abnormal spike and in the service desk tickets request and let you know that that's going on.
So if I'm sitting at a machine and I log in and you know, I've got user account controls enabled, so I can't take administrative action on my machine without, you know, elevating and taking a manual action, right? So I'm doing what I should as far as that's configured, or that's configured the way that it should be. But so my account, when I'm authenticating on the network, I'm getting, you know, I'm getting these tickets, right? So I'm getting a Kerberos ticket.
Sure.
So you're saying that one of the things that the attackers are doing are taking those tickets and being able to either what, act as a man in the middle, or
how are they
making use of that? And I mean, how does Defender interrupt that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They can attack as a man in the middle. And, you know, like I said, they're attempting to extract them and crack those passwords offline. It's quite interesting to see what those attempts are. We're going to see that very shortly in the demo that we have as well.
Yeah, I saw you have the bullet here on fast detection. So this is, I think that's one of the things that I've seen in our clients where we've deployed this is that, instantaneous action, right? So that end user clicked on an email and now their account is suddenly logging in somewhere that it wouldn't have normally on, to another on-prem ERP system or file server or something like that. That immediate alerting and immediate automated workflow, to either disable the login or to disable the account entirely, that kind of stuff, that fast detection, that's something I want to highlight for myself. Yeah. There are a lot of identity tools out there. We hear you need to be doing, this product in order to have multi-factor, and you need to do this product in order to do that. And at 2W, mostly we try to steer people toward unified suites like the Microsoft stack. But what makes Defender for Identity stand out, right? What's unique about this compared to others, and how does it work in, how does it work in conjunction?
So I think, first of all, you said what's really nice, right? Which is it's Microsoft native, right? So it's built by Microsoft. It integrates directly with Microsoft 365 Defender. We're going to show that here in a little bit. You've got Azure AD. If you're using Sentinel, it's out there. That native integration leads to better correlation and identity and endpoint and cloud signals. So all that stuff really comes together as a puzzle piece. So it means less noise as you're dealing with users and integration and, noise. It really does a great job of that. Sure, there are other products that are out there as well. But from our deployment and our use of Defender for Identity, it works really great. I do love the behavioral and signatures that are pulled out within Defender for Identity. What does that mean? It means that, with normal baselines and flag deviations, like users suddenly accessing resources they never touched before, it's smart. So as you have Defender for Identity out there, it learns. So, if you have it out there for a while, it understands what's going on in your environment, especially if you're using the suite itself, and it can really identify things that are going either wrong or right, and it kind of self-educates itself. The last thing that really comes to mind, Tom, is the zero trust alignment, right? So Defender for Identity supports zero trust, continuously evaluating the trustworthiness of users based on behavior, right? And a lot of times we're using a lot of behavior out here, not just credentials. So it helps enforce the principles. Never trust, always verify. And there's your quote for today is never trust, always verify at the identity level.
Signature based, it's kind of more where a lot of us grew up, so to speak, right? We can define it as a script, but the behavioral piece is exciting to me, that, this ability to learn, to bring that level of, I want to say cognitive awareness to what's going on with an account and how it's behaving. Very interesting. You mentioned zero trust as well quite a bit, and it looks like you're going to a little bit further into that here. So, this idea with the whole Defender stack, Defender for Identity obviously is a key part of, but of zero trust and of, how did you say, what's our phrase for today? Trust but verify at the identity level?
Yes. Trust. Exactly.
This world of, that an account needs to be authenticated and needs to be verified for whatever access or whatever action it's taking, right, taking at the time that it's taking it, and how this all fits in with their, I wanted to draw my own underline under that. So take us through some of the tangible benefits, right? And I want to make sure we've got time to get to your demo. So, do you have any examples from some of our customers? File off the names and serial numbers maybe, but
We had a security incident, matter of fact, yesterday, and his incident response time was fantastic. So the traditional security log for this would have just been a long and painful trip. We found that we detected the suspicious activity immediately. We correlated the behavior. And then within not even an hour, we already had the solution in place. The attacker didn't even have a chance to, do anything. I mean, that really comes down to that first bullet point here, which is faster incident response and reduced risk. I mean, it's just, that is money well spent. You know, going next down the line is the compliance and audit ready insights. One of the things that we do here at 2W Tech is we do a lot of stuff in regards to compliancy and all that kind of stuff. I think it's super important that, you know, when you work with any type of compliant audit or, you know, trying to get any type of certification, whether it's within ISO 27001, within NIST, any type of certifications, it's going out and making sure that you have good and robust audit trails. You know, I know Tom and myself, we're always, you know, working with our customers when it comes to client audits and what they have. This gives you those complete forensic trails when it comes to how things are going on in your particular tenant. And once again, it also shows everything within your particular tenant is being monitored proactively. So if you're an IT manager, a CEO, or a CISO, if you have a POAM in your security and credential out there, you can show that to your auditor. Your auditor is going to be fantastic, right? And then we talk a little bit about zero trust and modern security framework, right? So you're going down, you're constantly analyzing those identity signals, flagging risky behavior, and enforcing that never trust, always verify approach. And it's not about stopping known attacks. It's about making sure that identities in your environment are behaving the way they're supposed to, right? So whether you're somebody that's in accounting to someone that's a domain admin or a global administrator, I think that's one of the things that we're focused on, Tom.
Okay, cool. So you're going to take us through a demo. It's awesome. As you go through this, can you make sure to highlight anything? You know, there's a lot here, obviously.
There is a lot here.
Deep product, and we're going to, you know, spend 5 minutes with it, right?
Exactly.
So just make sure to highlight anything that you find particularly innovative or useful along the way that's, I think, going to be valuable for us.
Absolutely. So we'll kick this off. This goes a little fast. What we're doing here is we're essentially showing what happens when we go to our incidents and we're looking for a particular incident. In this case, we're looking for someone that has an identity, and let's just say that they have gotten particularly a bad email. We're going down and we're looking for this particular incident. In this case, we're looking for a summary when it comes to, let me go down here and click the tab to scroll. We're looking at a particular timeline. We're going to look at two different timelines when it comes to Defender for Identity and identity just in general when it comes to Defender. One of the things that we're talking about is how things are identified when it comes to people and users. Part of this is looking through the timeline that's out there. Now, this is a little bit older example, but as you're looking down here, you're going to see suspicious attachment opened on Alex by user Alex. Post-delivery detection of suspicious attachment on Alex by user Alex Wilbur. Timelines are extremely important to us. So as we're going through and looking at this demo, as users are doing things, we can go back in time and seeing exactly what's happening as users are doing things against their environments, whether they're on-prem, as we say, Active Directory, or within the cloud as well. Now, this could be, you know, Outlook within 365, you know, Microsoft 365, or it could be old Outlook in 2019 as well. So we'll go through this a little bit and we're seeing, okay, there's a timeline and we're going to go through this and we're going to say, okay, we're going to go and look at alerts. So we talked about alerts earlier. In this case, we have a bunch of alerts that are out there against our tenant. In this case, we're looking at such things as suspicious attachments, post-delivery detections, emails, email account is executing discovery commands. Now, what's very interesting, we're going to go down here just a little bit. We see severity, we see status, we see category, and impacted entities. So the big thing that we look at here is we see the impacted entities. We see an identity, as you see Annette and Alex, but you also see the devices that they're on as well that are impacted. So you see on Annette, you see that her device is impacted, but also her identity as well. So you see Annette Hill. And then you see the service source is Endpoint. So you can look at different areas. This is what we talked about earlier in the other slides as the service sources within Defender, the Defender portal coming together. So there's stuff that's coming from Endpoint. There's stuff that's coming from Office 365. There's stuff that's coming from 365 Defender within those alerts. So we have a comprehensive use of all the alerts that are coming here so that we can actually go through and look at these particular alerts. And in this case, we're looking at email messages containing malware removed after delivery. So we're focusing in on Annette. We're clicking on Annette now. I'm just going to let this run a little bit. We're going to go hunt. In hunting, this is a little bit more advanced, but we're just going to actually look and see what's going on with Annette since she has clicked on some malware. So we're going to run a little query. Since she was exposed, the user that used her account actually queried all the domain users within this particular tenant. So this was a breach, and essentially they used her account to click and find all the domain users for her account. So we're going to go back and see Annette Hill, who is now Ann Hill here, and we're going to look at her page. Now, this is one of the bigger things, I think, Tom, if you want to talk about, that is more important to us. So this is Ann's page within Defender for Identity. So Ann's page within Defender Identity has a lot of very interesting information. One of the things that we like to look at within a particular user's page is the user threat. So underneath there, you see she has three open incidents. She has some investigation priority, active alerts, identity risk level. Of course, she's high because she actually clicked on some malware. And then she actually has some user exposures after.
So even though this was an on-prem incident, you know, this activity happened on-prem, we saw the authentication happening against a domain controller, and then she was pulling accounts on a domain controller. You're using this web-based, cloud-based portal to view everything that's going on with her account, how it's moving around the network. And I'm assuming here we can take actions in directly from this portal to, you know, lock her account or to reset passwords or, you know, further dive into any of these events.
That is correct. So what we're going to do here is we're going to come in here and we are actually going to disable this user. So now what we've done is we have disabled Anne directly from the Defender for Identity and Defender portal so that her account is disabled until we go back and rectify all the issues that she has with her account.
So I know we only got a couple minutes with it. Yep. Here, but this was, you know, I think we can see, I can see just from the little bit of the demo there that this is obviously a very rich interface for managing the user portion of that whole Defender story. Is that fair to say?
That's correct. And, you know, as you go down those alerts and as you go down each user can have a story. Each user follows those alerts and it's very easy, unlike going through, you know, on-prem logs, to go through and adjust each user based on what they're trying to do.
All right. So obviously, if people are here on this call, they're interested in Defender for Identity. They're interested in the Defender stack for some reason. They're interested in really getting started with this or maybe expanding what they're already doing. What are some best practices you can share?
So the nice thing is, you know, there is like an easy onboarding strategy. As we said, to deploy it, it's really just putting on a domain controller, which is great. The Defender for Identity is available as a part of E5 or Defender for Identity as a standalone license. If your organization already has Microsoft 365 E5, you're already entitled to use it. Otherwise, you can purchase it as Defender for Identity plan, which is, you know, helpful in putting that in. You know, contact us here at 2W if you want to discuss it. We can figure that out. Would love to talk to you. I know some of the people that are on this webinar, you know, would love to figure this out for you as well. For a smart rollout, you basically start small. Pick one or two domain controllers and just, you know, put it on there and roll with it. You can do it as a test, and you can basically allows you to do a quick evaluation in regards to the signal quality and customized alerts before going out as a full-scale deployment. Right. It works really well.
That's I think that's important, Brad. We can scope this to users or to various OUs or to sites. Yep. I think that's important to, you know, you can do a scaled rollout.
Yes.
Good. I need to be responsible for the time. We've burned up our clock. Sue, anything that we need to address or any questions that are out there we should address before we wrap up?
We have a couple, actually. If you have questions and you're still on, go ahead and send them through the chat or the Q&A box. Either function works. So there are two questions that I'm going to kind of put in one. So in that demo with Annette, right? So Annette did something bad. You disabled her. So there are two questions, and I think the answer they were both looking for is, what's the next step with Annette, and are there best practices, not even so much with the software? What would 2W Tech do if Annette worked for you? Like, what are your next steps?
Yeah, you want to take that, Brad, or you want me to?
You go for it.
Okay. There's a couple of directions you could go, but so obviously let's disable the account first. Let's stop the action and find out what's going on. The part of that disable process in Defender for Identity is going to revoke any tickets or tokens that the user has. So that's going to freeze any, you know, basically any authentication activity. And the way that sensor works on the domain controller, it's going to immediately pause any activity by that user. So the next step is going to be to use that timeline. So obviously we're going to reach out to the user with a phone call or in person and say, you know, hey, there's something going on. Let them know that we've paused their access for a minute. But then we're going to use that timeline to look back through, okay, what access has been, what's been done? So if this were an automated account disable, which at 2W, that's how we have ours configured, fail safe, so to speak, then there's probably been very little action, but we go back through the timeline to look. If it were a manual disable, you know, it may have been a half hour or an hour or something, you know, before someone looked at that alert and responded to it and disabled the account. So you're going to go back through that timeline and look and see what access has been made. You've got a complete audit log right there in that tool. We can generate an output timeline. It's really like a PDF of this is what the user has done over the last half hour or day. And from there, then be able to say, okay, we need to go look at these resources and make sure that, you know, either notify these client, you know, maybe there's some notification requirements, or maybe it's just a matter of making sure that anyone that they send an email out to, let's just revoke those, you know, recall those, things like that. So it's going to depend on the timeline. We like to do the automated fail safe, disable the account and then go investigate. But both are valid.
What about training with that?
There are some quickly. Yeah, so learn.microsoft.com is a tremendous tool for an administrator side for learning and training. And of course, work with 2W as well. For end user training, we have groups that we work with. So there's both built into your Microsoft subscription. If you have Defender for Identity, there are built-in videos and training courses. There's also tools that we use, Hook Security. Is a group that we partner with for training videos. They're lightweight, lighthearted, easily digestible, short clip type videos. So you can put a user through a training course and you can target, they have targeted paths, and we can target one for identity in particular.
I may or may not have clicked on a link once that I wasn't supposed to, and maybe was assigned some Hook Security stuff to educate myself. It was great. So yeah. I wasn't mad about it, but it was an accident, everyone, and everything was fine. But all right. We just have one other question here. How is Defender for Identity different from what I already have with basic Active Directory logging or SIEM tools? If that's how I say that.
Yeah. Adding the Defender for Identity layer onto that. So with Active Directory, you know, you've got some ability to automatically lock an account out with 5 failed password attempts, let's say, or to force password changes, or to log, in the security logs when they've logged on and logged off and what machines. Or you can do quite a bit deeper logging if you want. Those logs are giant. For a human to troll through those would be nearly impossible. With Defender for Identity, you're adding this layer of all of those events and much, much, much more being sent out to this external cloud analysis. And that analysis being done external to your network, which is also then therefore secure from an attacker being able to, maybe remove evidence. But then correlated with all kinds of other indicators. So things coming in through, this person received an email, or this person did this thing in SharePoint, or they were logged in this particular location, those types of things, all that gets correlated together with that analysis, that cognitive analysis done against it to say, hey, this is unusual. Sue doesn't normally access these financial documents, or she doesn't normally jump from this thing to that, or I don't know, she doesn't normally log in at 2 a.m. or maybe she does normally log in at 2 a.m. But those types of things, and it's, I'm giving simple examples, but they all get correlated together into a rich picture of what the account is doing that the AI can then look at and go, hey, this is something that rises to the level of being an alert. And that also gets combined again with all those other indicators. So if you've got Defender for Endpoint and all these other things deployed, so I know that Sue's computer hasn't had the April 8th Windows updates applied yet. So therefore, it has this particular vulnerability that hasn't been patched yet. And this account is doing things that match what that vulnerability would look like. Those types of correlations are things that you really wouldn't, as a human, be doing. You just couldn't. But the automation can handle that no problem, and it is. So
that's all the questions we have. I appreciate everyone who's still with us, hanging in there. Our contact information is on the screen. If you have any questions, you can hit sales@2wtech.com. If you're a current client and you need help with any of this, helpdesk@2wtech.com is also an option. Or, of course, you can do it the old-fashioned way and give us a call. Our number's up on the screen. For any of our archived podcasts, we have a ton of podcasts and webinars and shorts and all sorts of fun video stuff that Danielle, our social media director, does. Visit our YouTube channel. It's a good time. You can get lost in there for a while if you haven't frequented it. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have another webinar. For any of you that are still on that maybe use Epicor, we're going to have Sam Plummer, who is our Epicor practice director, is going to be back discussing Kinetic, the screens, the big topic right now in the Epicor world. So look for information early next week on our website and our social channels. We'll be promoting that story next week. So Brad, Tom, thank you guys so much. Thank you everyone that joined us today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks everyone. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks everyone. Sue.